Well, it is a joy to be back home. My wife and I were on an extended trip. We were in a missions conference in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And that's the hometown of the Coats, in case you don't know where Hattiesburg is, okay? And she's the lady that teaches all us how to teach talk Southern, and we all need that, amen? And then we went from there to Bonita Springs, Florida, and had a wonderful, wonderful mission conference there in Bonita Springs. And it's just a joy to be back home and to be with you, dear folks. And we had a wonderful session this morning in the chapel service. Pastor Chapel gave a, I think it was supposed to be maybe an hour lecture, and it extended to about 2 hours. But it was a great thesis on church planting, one of the greatest I've ever heard in all of my life. And I am still rejoicing about the Friday night service, the Hope service, and then the Sunrise service. How many of you were brave enough to go to the Sunrise service? Let's see your hand. All right, just a few of you here, okay? A bunch of them came from somewhere. You didn't come tonight, okay? They got to the Sunrise service, but they didn't get to the prayer meeting, okay? But that was a great meeting. And then the 8 o'clock, 8:30, and the 11 o'clock service on Sunday morning, and the great multitude of people that not only came, but great number that was saved, and we are certainly grateful for that. So it's just a blessing to be here at Lancaster Baptist Church, and I appreciate your prayers for my wife Virginia. She has had a cold for several weeks and is having a very hard time shaking it, and that's not unusual. Several of you have had the same thing and so forth, but we do appreciate your prayers. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 4. The subject that I was given for tonight is the decision of meditation. And in Philippians chapter 4, we're going to read verses 4 through 8. You follow me in your Bible as I read, okay? Philippians chapter 4, and I begin reading in verse 4. We're thinking particularly about verse 8, okay? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. And by the way, that's always a good place to begin a prayer meeting, amen? Rejoicing in the Lord. By the way, I've never had an easy time rejoicing in certain circumstances, and that doesn't say to rejoice in the circumstances, but in spite of the circumstances, we can rejoice in the Lord. Amen? Amen. Now, I've heard people say they had a flat tire and they'd go out and say, praise God. I've never had the spirit to say that, all right? I'm sorry, but even in the difficult circumstances, and the emphasis here is rejoicing in the Lord. And then it, let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. And by the way, in this troubled hour, that's a good word for us. In other words, don't be over anxious. Don't be overly worried about anything, okay? He says, and be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. And by the way, that's worth more than anything in the world, is it not? Amen. I mean, with all the things that are happening, all the difficulties, all the situations we're going through, thank God we can still have the peace of God. Then this is the verse we're thinking about basically tonight. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Say that last phrase with me, would you? Think on these things. Okay, once again. Think on these things. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. And I pray that you will bless tonight as we study this subject of meditation. I pray that you'd give me wisdom in saying what I need to say refraining from those things that I need not say. And I pray you would bless your dear people, and I pray that they'll get something out of the service. It'll be a blessing to them during this coming week. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. In the Bible, we find the word Selah some 171 times. It is found in the book of Psalms 168 times, and only three times other than that, and that is in the book of Habakkuk. And in the book of Habakkuk, you find the word Selah three times. Since the Psalms were songs, it probably is a pause in the singing. In other words, when they were singing a song, and then they would see the word Selah, then it was a time for a pause in the singing. And it was a pause to think about what you have just sung, what you have just heard, what you have just read. In other words, think about this, Selah, okay? Ponder, muse in your mind what you have just read, what you have just heard, what you have just sung. By the way, it was also a pause to praise God. And if we're not careful, we'll read the Bible. If we're not careful, we'll sing songs. And we get in a habit of singing some of them so many times that we never stop to think what we're singing. And it would be good, would it not, to every once in a while we're singing, just to look at the words, listen to the words, and think about what we're singing. Several times in the Word of God, we are exhorted to meditate. Let me give you some synonyms for the word meditate that might help us to understand what it means. Here's just a few, okay? Consider. Chew over. Now that might be like some of you old-timers, some of you that might be from the far, that you know something about the cows chewing the cud, okay? And they just eat the food, and then it comes back up a little bit, and they just chew it and chew it and chew it and chew it. And that's what the word meditate means, okay? It means to ponder, to stop long enough to look at it and say, hey, what is this saying? What does it mean? What does it have for me? And so forth, okay? To think over, to muse, might be sort of like you're reading the Word of God and all of a sudden you stop and you begin to talk to yourself. Do you ever do that? By the way, it is not bad to talk to yourself. It might be bad if you start answering yourself, okay? But when you're musing on something, oh, isn't that good? Okay? To contemplate, to study, to mull over. In other words, these are synonyms that might help us to understand what the meaning of the word meditate really is. Let me give you just three or four examples of the exhortation in the Word of God to meditate. Now, we'll be thinking more about all of these a little bit later on in the message, but just think for a minute, okay? In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, we have a passage that our pastor has read to us many, many times. One of his favorite passages has to be Joshua chapter 1, okay? But Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, it says this, "The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth." In other words, you don't just read it and forget it, okay? It stays there. You chew on it. You ponder it. You think about it, okay? Then it said, "But thou shalt meditate therein day and night." By the way, when you get a verse of scripture on your mind, when you get a good song on your mind or something, you can take that to bed with you and think about it and rejoice about it even at that time, okay? And then it says, "That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein." In other words, a meditation means that we not only read the Word of God, we not only hear the Word of God, we not only see the Word of God, but we put it in practice in our life. And then he goes on to say, "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. By the way, wouldn't everybody in here tonight be happy to be prosperous? And wouldn't everybody in here tonight be happy to be successful? I mean, hey, these are good things. Now, we'll talk about those a little bit later on. Again, in Psalms chapter 1, we hear the word, or we see the word meditate. And we'll be thinking about all of these passages in a little more detail later, but look at it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. By the way, say that with me, would you? In his law doth he meditate day and night. Wonderful, okay? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And there again, you have the word prospering. In other words, the promise of meditating, okay? In Psalms 119, and you'll be glad that I'll not read all of that tonight, okay? I heard about a man that was supposedly to be executed. Before the execution, they would allow one psalm to be read. And so he chose Psalm 119. And before it was over, his conviction was overturned, okay? So there's a lot of good things in Psalm 119, okay? And listen to the psalmist verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. Isn't that a good statement? Oh, how I love thy law. And then he said, it is my meditation all the day. So evidently the psalmist, and I personally believe it was David, and he is saying, I read it early in the morning, and I meditate on it all day long. By the way, in Psalm 119, there are 176 verses. 22 different groupings and 8 verses in each group. And in every one of the 176 verses, some word meaning the scripture is found in all but 5 of the verses. So when David is saying, oh, how I love thy word, he is not exaggerating, amen? You think about it, all of those verses, and in every verse except 5 verses, some word that used for the scripture is found in every one of them. There are 7 basic words that are found that refer to the scripture. Let me give them to you, okay? The one that refers most is simply the word. God's word, the word of God, and so on and so forth. That appears in Psalms 119 43 times. Judgments, that's talking about the laws of God, the word of God. That's 23 times. The testimonies of God, that's 23 times. The commandments of God, that's 22 times. The law of God, 25 times. The precepts of God, 21 times. And the statutes of God, 21 times. In other words, every verse in Psalms 119, except 5, has some word in it that refers to the word of God. So when the psalmist said, oh, how I love thy word, he is just simply saying, I honor the word of God. I thank God for the word of God. Now, sometimes we who make a lot of the Bible are called idolaters, we Bibleolaters, or Bibleologists, and so forth. And in reality, we don't worship the Bible, but the book that we use that tells us about the God that we worship is the Bible, amen? And by the way, I do not believe it is possible to make too much of the Word of God. When these verses, with these verses in mind, let's explore the subject of meditation. Number one, just a question. What is meditation? What is meditation? I'll give you two things. Number one, the unbiblical method of meditation, okay? Unbiblical meditation. This would be the kind of meditation that we would find in Buddhism. We spent many years in Japan. We saw much of this, okay? In Hinduism, in transcendental meditation. And by the way, in all of these, here's what people do. And you've seen them sitting around and all kind of shapes and so on and so forth. And what they're saying is this. We are emptying our mind and we are sitting patiently waiting for a new revelation. That's what meditation is in Hinduism. That's what meditation is in Buddhism, transcendental meditation, and so forth. By the way, these kind of things are very popular in yoga and the martial arts. It originated in India as a part of Hinduism. Very dangerous. By the way, don't we all recognize tonight that it would be a dangerous thing to totally empty our minds? Now, with a lot of us, it wouldn't take a lot of effort, okay? but wouldn't we stop and think for a minute, just to empty your mind and have it empty? I'll give you a good example of how that happens. In Matthew chapter 12, we read this story. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he ariseth. Then he saith, I will return unto my house from whence I came, the unclean spirit that's been cast out, from which I came, and when he is come, now what's his next word? He findeth it empty. Now think what happened. He findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Now here's a man that had reformed, he'd gotten rid of some bad things, but he had not been filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. And so it's empty. And notice what happened. Then he goeth and taketh with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. By the way, when your mind is empty, there is nothing there. You're not thinking about anything. Then reality, what is happening, you're making place for the demons to enter in. And that is a very, very dangerous situation. Now, that's the wrong kind of meditation. Now, what's the right kind of meditation? The biblical meditation. Instead of emptying our mind and waiting for a revelation, and by the way, there is absolutely no reason to ever wait for another revelation, there's not going to be any. Amen. We have in the 66 canonized books of the Bible all of the revelation that God is going to give us. So we do not empty our mind and sit there and wait for a new revelation. Rather than that, we fill our mind with the Word of God and we think about it and wait for the illumination of the Holy Spirit of God to teach us what the Word of God is saying. And that's biblical meditation. Meditation is to the Word of God what digestion is to physical food. If food is not digested, it is of no value other than taste. Digestion breaks the food up, and then it is distributed to the different organs in the body. And meditation causes us not just to hear, not just to learn the Word of God, but to put it into practice. That's biblical meditation. Now let's go back to these two Psalms and think about these two passages of Scripture and think about this in the matter of meditation. Look again at Psalms chapter 1. I'll give you time to turn to your Bible there. It may be printed there, but I love to turn to my Bible to read this, okay? Psalms chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth her fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now think about this. Number one, negatively, the Bible says he walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. By the way, your walk will be determined by what you see, by who you listen to, by what you read, and so forth. And sad to say, but many people, many even believers today, are getting counsel from the wrong places. For instance, the television is not necessarily a good place to get counsel from. You're not going to learn the right way to live, the right way to act, the right thing to do by listening to what most of the television programs tell you to do. If you do what they tell you to do, you're in a bad shape, amen? But by the way, you're going to really be what you listen to and what you look at and what you read. Somebody as well said, we're not all that we think we are, but we are what we think. And so here, be sure that you're getting your counsel from the right one. Where do you get your counsel? You get your counsel from the Bible, the Word of God. Where do you get your counsel? You get your counsel for men who study the Bible and love the Bible and teach the Bible and so forth. In other words, be sure that you're getting your counsel from the right one. And then it said, stand in the way of sinners. Negatively, okay? The man that's right with God, the person that's right with God, they do not stand with sinners. Now, rather than standing with sinners, and by the way, and it all goes back, okay? If you take your counsel from the wrong place, you'll be standing with sinners. You'll be thinking like sinners. You'll be thinking like the world. And the Bible says, That's not the way to think. That's not what we want to do. We don't stand. In other words, we stand with God's people. And that's what makes the church such a great thing. We read the Bible. We listen to our pastor preach the Word of God. And we stand together. And I've never in all of my life, in all of my 60 years of ministry, I've never seen a church in more unity than Lancaster Baptist Church. And isn't it a great privilege to be a church, to be a member of a church like this? I mean, you know, we're not a bunch of cookie-cutter people and so forth, but we have the right thinking about the Bible, the Word of God, and about God, and about the great doctrines of the Word of God. And then he said, they do not sit in the seat of the scornful. That's the atheists. That's the agnostics. That's those who make fun of the Bible. But now listen again, okay? If we listen to the wrong counsel, if we stand with the wrong people, the first thing you know, we're going to be sitting in the seat of the scornful and doing the same thing that those types of people do. Now, that's enough negativism, amen? Let's look at the positive side, okay? Positively, what do? They delight in the Word of the Lord. They delight in the Word of the Lord. Do you delight in the Word of the Lord? A few weeks ago, Virginia and I had the privilege of seeing our new great-granddaughter for the first time. Alicia, a beautiful little girl. We could not take our eyes off of her. We could not coo her and goo her and all the good things you do to grandbabies and great-grandbabies. And you know, and you watch a grandmother or a grandfather, okay? We make fun of grandmothers, but we're just as bad, okay? And you delight in that little girl. You want to hold her. You want to be with her. You want to watch every move that she makes. Well, not maybe every one of them, but a lot of them, okay? What does it mean to delight in the word of the Lord? By the way, if we delight in somebody, if we delight in something, then we give time to that. And so the Bible says here, they delight in the word of the Lord. Don't you find yourself sometime in reading the Bible, kind of talking to yourself like that? Wasn't that good? Didn't God say that real well? By the way, it's all good. Amen. And he says everything. The law of the Lord is perfect. Okay. And just think about it. You're reading the word of God and you're delighting in it. It's not a task that I have to do to get through it and so forth. It's not just having my devotion out of habit and so forth, but it's delighting in the word of God. And I'm sure that all of us have caught ourselves saying, God's laws are wonderful. By the way, you can't read the Ten Commandments, but what you just stop and think, wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody in the world abided by those? You think God's precepts are great. The thoughts of God, it's higher than ours as far as the heaven is of the earth. God's statutes are good. His commands are profitable. His judgments are just. He is holy. He is sovereign. I love him. I love his word. Let's all say that together. I love his word. And we ought to do it. I love his word. Once again, I love his word. And by the way, there's so many ways today that we have opportunities to read the word of God and to study the word of God and to know more about our great God through reading his word. Then the Bible goes on to say that in his law doth he meditate day and night. In other words, when we're meditating, it means that we are filling our mind with the word of God. And when you fill your mind with the word of God, it just comes out. You think right, you do right when you fill your mind with the word of God. And in his law doth we meditate day and night. That's biblical meditation. We don't sit around and just give our mind to nothing and make ourselves available for the demons to come in and mess us up and so forth. And by the way, the way that you make sure that the demons do not come into you is to be born again by the Spirit of God. Amen. And when we get saved, we're not empty. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. And the demons may bother us. They may tempt us. They may try us and so forth. But thank God, they cannot possess a child of God. Amen. Then look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 again. We mull over it. We think about it. We murmur it to ourselves. We reflect on it. And then in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, the Apostle Paul gives us some things that we ought to think about. Now think about this, okay? You cannot think about two things at the same time. And you choose what you think about. Now you don't always choose what you see. I suppose every day some of us see something we'd rather not see. By the way, you don't have to keep looking at it. Amen. That's the reason that Billy Sunday said one time, you can't keep a bird from flying over your head, but you don't have to let him build a nest in your hair. Amen. And so Paul mentions here several things. And by the way, we'll get back to this in a minute. But every one of these can apply to the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything he mentions here. How should we think? Think about things that are true. There are enough lies going around. Amen. There is enough untrue that's being propagated all over the world. There are enough false things. But rather than thinking about them, let's think about those things that are true. Think about the Word of God. Think about the Church of God. Think about the things that are true. Then he said, think about the things that are honest. Dishonesty is found everywhere in the world. We're plagued with it. But rather than just thinking about that, let's think about things that are right, things that are honest. Think about things that are just. And I can assure you tonight, there are enough unjust things to keep our minds cluttered all day long. But rather than thinking about that, let's think about things that are just. Things that are pure. Think about things that are pure. In the 60 years of my ministry, I have had the horrible experience of having to deal with many cases of infidelity on the part of a man or a woman. And I believe I can say this without any doubt. Every case I have ever dealt with about infidelity to the marriage partner began with pornography. It began by watching the wrong thing. And by the way, if we think about, if we watch, if we listen to the wrong thing, eventually we're going to do the wrong thing. But if we keep our minds on that which is pure, then we're going to be able to live a pure life. And that ought to be the goal of every man, every woman, every boy, every girl in the church. Amen. To be pure. Amen. Think about those things which are lovely. Wow. I don't know how many times since Sunday I've thought about the video, the message, the songs. Were they lovely or not? You think about those things. Keep those things on your mind. And by the way, that is the reason that literally thousands of hours of practice and so forth went into what we saw on Sunday morning. So that we could think about things that are lovely. Then think about things that are of good report. One of the worst things you can do before you go to bed tonight is listen to the news. Because if you listen to the news, I'll guarantee you, you can listen to the news tonight, and I'll guarantee you, you will not hear one good report. You'll hear about people getting murdered. You'll hear about people stealing. You'll hear about people doing all kinds of horrible things and so forth. But we ought to think about the good things that are happening. You know, when I think about things that are of good report, every once in a while I hear some dumb person talk about the demise of fundamentalism. And every time I hear that, I think, boy, they're not going to the churches I'm going to. Amen. Fundamentalism is not dead. It's alive. And all over America tonight, there are pastors that are standing true to the Word of God. They're winning souls. They're baptizing converts. They're discipling people. Great things are happening all over the world tonight. Pastor Chappell has told you, others that went with us have told you about the wonderful things that happened in the Asian spiritualship meeting. And people come from some 24 different countries, and they sang great songs, and they listened to teaching and preaching from the Word of God, and they've gone back home and they put them those things in practice, and they're getting people saved, and they're building churches, and great things are happening for the glory of God. Hey, by the way, fill your mind with those kind of things. Don't just be bogged down with thinking about bad things. By the way, I mentioned a while ago, every one of these things can be said of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is true. He is honest. He is just. He is pure. He is lovely. And he is of good report. And when you think about Jesus, you can't help but think about the word gospel. Amen. And that is good report. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ suffered and bled and died for our sins. He was buried. He was resurrected for our justification. He is alive. In other words, Paul is saying, think about these things. And by the way, just keep your mind centered on the Lord. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth will seem strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Think on these things. Now, in closing, think with me for just a minute about the value of meditation. The value of meditation. In Joshua chapter 1, he mentions the fact that it will make thy way prosperous. And this is not prosperity evangelism, okay? However, I believe that it does mean that if we meditate, if we fill our minds with the Word of God, and just all day long and even in the night, we meditate, we muse over, we think about, we ponder those things, I believe that it does mean that God will provide for us mentally, God will provide for us physically, God will provide for us materialistically, God will provide for us emotionally. We shall prosper. And then he says, and you shall have good success. By the way, what is success for a Christian? Sad to say, but many Christians succeed, but they succeed in the wrong things. What is good success for a child of God? I believe this is it. For the believer, good success is to be what God desires for you to be. It is for you to be doing what God wants you to do. It is for you to be where God wants you to be. That is good success. It may not be success in the eyes of the world, but in the Word of God, that is good success. There are a couple of passages that I love, and you can just go to it over and over and over again, thinking about being led of God and being where God wants you to be. Psalms 37:23, David makes this statement. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Think about that. David said, the steps of a good man. And a good man means a man that is justified by faith. His sins have been forgiven. He has the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now, he didn't say the years of a good man, or the months of a good man, or the weeks of a good man, or the days, but he said the step. And don't you realize tonight, we need him every step of the way. Every hour I need thee. Oh, I need thee. In other words, we need him every step. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Then in Genesis 24, verse 27, Eliezer, after he had found a wife for Isaac, and, when he took off, he didn't have any idea what to do. And as he went, he was obeying what Abraham told him to do. He went where Abraham told him to go. And just before he got there, he was standing there by the well of water. The women were coming out to draw water, and he begins to pray. And lo and behold, everything worked out just like he prayed. And when it was all over, Eliezer began to think, and he made this statement, I being in the way, the Lord led me. In other words, I just got where God wanted me to be. I just did what God wanted me to do, and God led me. I've often made this statement. I guess I have never had a just out of this world illumination of any kind. My wife heard me say that one time, and she said, don't you remember the first time you met me? So other than that time, I've never had just some kind of a fantastic out of this world vision or anything. Okay? But after being saved 67 years and being in the ministry 60 years, I can look back over those years and just think, I got in the way and God led me. Get in the way, get saved, be separated, be submissive to God, be serving God. I being in the way, the Lord led me. Then in the Psalms, we have this promise. We'll be like a fruitful tree. A tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaf shall not wither. And whatsoever he does shall prosper. Shall prosper. In conclusion, think about it. A recent survey revealed that in spite of the fact that most people who claim to be born-again believers would say that they believe that the Bible is the Word of God. And by the way, you shouldn't be surprised about that, okay? But here's the sad thing. In spite of that, only about 20% or one out of every five read the Bible on a regular basis. In other words, they say they believe the Bible, but they do not read it on a regular basis. And guess what? If they don't read it, then they're not meditating on it. I found an old hymn today. I don't know when I ever heard this hymn sung, but I couldn't help but think of it. And now relax, okay? I'm not going to try to sing it, okay? I saw some of you begin to cringe, okay? And relax, okay? But before I read it, let me give you a quotation. It's an old quotation, but listen to it. Beware of the barrenness of a busy life. By the way, if you had a pen and paper, you probably ought to write that down, okay? Beware of the barrenness of a busy life. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll equate busyness with being spiritual. And by the way, we can be real busy and be as far from God as we possibly can. But you listen to this song. And in reality, real meditation takes some solitary time. Now, I know that's a strange thing for us today. I mean, you just stop and think for a minute. When is the last time that I just got all alone, nothing but me and God? That's the reason I like to drive myself some places. I like to go by myself sometimes, just drive. Now, Pastor Chapel and everybody else tries to get me a driver. I don't think they're so concerned about me. They're concerned about everybody else on the road, oh man. You heard that story about a woman was watching television one day and she saw that a man was driving down the freeway on the wrong side of the road. And she called her husband, and the husband answered the cell phone. She said, "Hun, be careful. There's some nut out there driving on the wrong side of the road." And he said, "Hun, it's not just one. They're all driving on the wrong side of the road." If we're not careful, we get so busy. So busy. I mean, many times, even doing good things, okay, that we forget the main thing. Now listen to the song. Take time to be holy. Speak oft with the Lord. Abide in Him always and feed on His word. Make friends of God's children. Help those who are weak. Forgetting in nothing His blessing to seek. Take time to be holy. The world rushes on. Spend much time in secret with Jesus alone. By looking to Jesus, like him thou shalt be. Thy friends in thy conduct, his likeness shall see. Take time to be holy. Let him be thy guide. And run not before him, whatever betide. Still follow the Lord, and looking to Jesus, shall trust in his word. Take time to be holy. Be calm in thy soul. Each thought and each motive beneath his control. Thus led by the Spirit to fountains of love, thou soon shall be fitted for service above. Selah. Think about these things.